To flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Have the minutes, motion for the minutes here. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Financial report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wait till David gets our slides up. We'll get started on these. Okay. Thanks, David. Commissioners, not a lot of highlights. We're only 2 months into the fiscal year. One thing I did want to point out in the first page, we've got a new pointer here, so we'll see if it works. There you go. I've highlighted no concern that tax revenues are lagging the last year to date. That's just due to timing. We received a check for just under $21 million from Cuyahoga County on the 15th of March. So when you do, when we do the March statements through the first 3 months, we'll be right in line with where we were last year. We just got the tax revenues a little bit earlier last year than this year. Total tax revenues through the first half are just under $51 million against a $97.5 million budget this year. So we're right in line with everything. So we're in good shape. I did want to highlight a couple things on the zoo. First off, you can see the negative last year. If you remember, we had a negative in 24 in January. That's where we're paying Wild Winter Lights their revenue share. Their revenue share is an offset against revenue. That's why it looks negative last year. The important thing is when you look at year to date, big compliments to the zoo. Not really sure. Admissions are way up and our Zoological Society money is up this year. I did get a chance to talk to Dr. Kuhar. And we're wondering if the baby tigers aren't having some impact with people wanting to get to the zoo and see what's going on, because we haven't had great weather, but we are clearly getting great attendance. And if you look at year to date, in terms of operating expenses, they are actually down year to date. So they're doing extremely well. The zoo's in real good shape right now. Golf. You can see that we made the turn. You remember me mentioning that January was real slow. Greens fees in February are great. Rounds played in the month of February were up 60% over the prior year. Rounds played year to date now are up 32%. So after that slow January, because the weather was just really bad, we're running up year to date $102,000. And we're about right in line with where we would be as far as our, what I would call our operating experience year to date in golf. We'll keep an eye on things. It could be a little tricky in March because obviously we had snow yesterday and the day before. So it impacts rounds played. But to date, when I'm looking at the rounds played report, they're doing pretty well. There's nothing to note on any of the individual golf courses. I did want to point out, when we look at year to date golf as we go through this year, it will be hard to do analytics only because we picked up Ironwood Golf Course this year. So when you look at 2023, it will not include Ironwood. 2024 will. So any year to date is always going to be impacted by the fact that we own Ironwood now. On the enterprise side, I did want to point out dock revenues are way up. That's due to two things. Part of it is the revenues are up. The other part is timing. Dock rentals are due by February 15th each year. You can start paying in November. So depending on the year you're in, that revenue could go into the previous year or the current year. We had a lot of revenue coming in this month. You can see $381,000. So a lot of people were getting in under that February 15 deadline to secure their dock space. Now we should be all trued up and we're about $73,000 ahead in dock rentals this year. And as an accountant, I love consistency. You almost can't get more consistent than when you look at the operating surplus or subsidy from 23 to 24 through the first 2 months, a difference of only $196 on the enterprise side on a consolidated basis. And there, when I mentioned the marina revenue, you can see the marina revenue right there, 23 to 24. The other thing I did want to point out, parking revenues down a little bit. We had, a tenant in a downtown office building that had been renting a lot of parking spaces that's no longer there. Ernst & Young, so trying to replace some of that revenue, finding new tenants may take a little time, so this will catch up, but it's just down a little bit year to date because they've moved to a new location and they were using one of our parking facilities. And then last, but clearly not least, the highlight is our retail shops. And through 2 months, $133,000. They're $81,000 through 2 months over where they were. What I like to see is you can see where we're 2 months in 23, slight subsidy. They're already dropping $22,000 to the bottom line. That's a $92,000 change from where they were last year at this time. So big compliments to the nature shops.
That's fantastic.
And the, I was going to say the glasses.
Anne Marie did a nice, very nice job with her entire staff. They were putting in and taking care of it. And she's in a reorder. She's really been on the ball on it. And the merchandise has been absolutely spot on and fantastic. So credit to her.
Exactly. Everything's going well. Other than that, commissioners, 2 months in, it's hard to share any more detail other than we're where we should be. We're in a good spot, and we'll have more to come once we get 3 months in. And I'll give you a full first quarter report where we can look at year over year and some other data. Are there any questions about the information you received?
It's good.
Okay.
Thank you, Wade. Thanks, we will move into new business. The very first action item we have is 2024 budget adjustment number 3. Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, you'll find the budget adjustment number 3 on page 9 of your packet. The adjustment totals $1,059,641,000. All of the items are detailed on pages 40 to 43, but I would offer that everything is just routine operating adjustments for the month.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is just a request for approval of modified 2024 rates and user fees. Presented these back in a schedule in October of 23. We did a revision for the police. We're just asking for a little bit of modification based on market and having a little bit more flexibility and clarity kind of as we go through the 2024 year with construction and a number of other things. We felt that we need just a little bit of latitude. Those are reflected on page 44 through 45. Recommended action just for these modified changes are on the top portion of page 10.
A quick question, Brian, having to do with the dockage fees. Are we sure we can, with the fees we have now and what we have planned, that we can, we're accruing enough to be able to pay for these docks when they need to be? Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is something that we've been doing for many years. Part of our employee engagement is the 2024 Club Metro financial request. They currently have more than 175 employees. They work very hard at doing activities that are not only internal networking, social events, and some charitable events. The Cleveland Metro Parks has supported them for quite a number of years. They have been audited. Charlie Russell, Aubrey Kitson, and our teams have done a very nice job. They do match the numbers with our commitment from the Cleveland Metro Parks, and they are asking for $6,500 to match from an employee engagement. And that was one of the big things that our employees really have enjoyed is having some level of engagement through our Club Metro. So the financial commitment and the recommended action falls on the mid portion of page 11.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next two are authorization to submit grants and commit funds to the Outdoor Recreation Legacy Partnership Program. The very first one is work that is relative to Irish Town Bend. Cleveland Metro Parks Land Studio will be working through ODNR and others to help facilitate a 25-acre park, a viable public waterfront project. We have worked very hard with Land Studio. They have done a tremendous job raising funds. They've got a number of different designs that have been vetted through the newspaper even over the past weekend. This is a very unique opportunity to apply for over $10 million for a total project cost of upwards of $21 million. They are committed to raising the half of the money that they need, the 50% commitment. And so Cleveland Metro Parks would be the government applicant because that is one of the main components of this particular grant program. This is again the Outdoor Recreation Legacy Partnership Program, and we are asking for a commitment of $10,812,401 and Land Studios match of the 50%, which they've already raised.
They already had pretty pictures on TV this morning.
It's a tremendous project, and it is moving.
Can I ask if we know on these grants what the timing is for the grant award or notice of grant award?
This specific one, I don't know exactly the runway that it actually has. We have one federal program that we should have heard in January, and it's now middle of March. Mm-hmm. A lot is dependent on that we found on staffing and levels of review. And so we also have understood that with the election that happened Tuesday, a lot of things were being pushed. And so we're hopeful that these things all kind of get moving here. But I will get you an exact time on when we anticipate.
I'm just looking for estimate as well.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next one is also part of this. This is the Ohio Recreation Legacy Partnership Program. This is an urbanized area defined as the U.S. Census. We have talked about this parcel a number of times in its close proximity to Wendy Park, the connection through the confluence of the Cuyahoga River. This is known as the Ontario Stone property. We would be looking at a commitment of Cleveland Metro Parks funds of up to $3 million. This is the particular parcel of land, noticing its proximity to our trail connection and the Wendy Park Bridge. This is a very unique opportunity, again, to get up to 50% of the total project area. This is an environmental justice area, as defined by the Climate and Economic Justice Screening Tool. The recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 13.
Brian, who owns the land where the old Jackknife Bridge comes down?
It's actually Jacobs Entertainment Group.
Okay.
Yep. They own both sides of that. And then where what it'd be called Shooters, the music box and the comedy club.
So I mean the carve out.
Yep. That's Jacobs Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's the status now? Do we have an option on it?
We have Kyle can probably give you exactly what we put into place.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. We have it's since this program goes so far in the future, we have a loose letter of intent with the owner where they basically said they're engaged with us and they're a willing seller. So if we actually are awarded in a year or two, we can start to negotiate. This is a very speculative grant application. And if we get it, then we can start negotiating.
Great. Thank you.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
The next is Millstream Run Reservation. This is an authorization to submit grant application and commit funds. This is part of the Recreational Trails Program. We have worked very hard at looking at opportunities that are near our Wallace Lake. We are doing a tremendous amount of renovations. This is a very good opportunity to complete a 10-foot wide trail that'll traverse the Wallace picnic area, connect some of the amenities, and really make an overall wonderful improvement. Our funding is only a commitment of up to $30,000, and then the ask is up to $150,000. That is the recommended action to submit to Ohio Department of Natural Resources for the Recreational Trails Program.
Just a question in the application, the fact that we're putting other dollars in and around the site, those get joined in, we get points?
We should get points for match, depending on how the grant actually leverages those from a qualifying standpoint.
Good, thanks. Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The next is the resolution to accept and commit funds. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources, this is the Boating Safety Grant. We've been awarded up to $30,000 for the ODNR Boating Safety Educational Grant Program. This is the commitment of up to the Cleveland Metro Parks in-kind contributions for a total grant program of up to $40,000. So it is an absolutely excellent opportunity through our Outdoor Recreation Department. Again, we are accepting the $30,000. The recommended action falls in the top portion of page 15.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the Professional Services Agreement, Hawthorne Parkway Bridge Replacement, South Chagrin Professional Construction Inspection Services. This is a continuation. You know, Cleveland Metro Parks does have a wide variety of bridges across many different areas. We've worked very hard to find federal funding for the Hawthorne Parkway. We've pushed it just a little bit, but we were successful in finding additional funds. So this is a professional services agreement for Greenman Peterson Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $189,451 for the continued work on Hawthorne Bridge Parkway replacement.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is professional services agreement RFQ 6402, amendment to contract 1488, bridge inspection and engineering support services. This is the 2019 to 2024 bridge inspection. We have worked again very hard, continuing working with Arcadis, working with Ohio Department of Transportation, rating the bridges. There's a whole calculation for the municipal bridge program. Cleveland Metro Parks is asking for amendment number 8 for the continued professional services of Arcadis and a revised amount not to exceed $812,355 to continue our park-wide program.
Brian, a quick question. How much do we spend on the maintenance of these bridges? I mean, is that just quite roughly, is it millions or is it?
I'll have Sean come up. It's that number. It does move depending on yeah. programs that are available. We've got multiple ones that include in front of Rocky River Nature Center. We have one that is going up the trail down in Strongsville. We've got one in Euclid. And so there's a pushes and pulls on ones that will move over and then ones that will completely rebuild.
Right.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning, commissioners. We have been very successful in the recent past, in the past 2 years, in actually securing funds that we weren't available to secure before through the municipal bridge program. We've secured about $7 million through that program for 4 different projects. We are committing a little less than $1.5 million between engineering and our capital match for all those projects.
1 to 7.
That's true. Yes,
it's been a very good program for us. And you'll see in the proposal we received from Arcadis for this year that we plan to probably apply for 1 or 2 more bridges that are probably in the 27, 28 timeframe. So that has really helped us. We've addressed the bottom of the list. I mean, overall, we're in excellent shape with our infrastructure and our bridges specifically, but what we've been able to do with the municipal bridge program is concentrate on those that needed the attention the most.
So where do those fund? Those weren't available before. What?
Yeah, park districts were actually written out of the eligible parties.
Yeah.
We worked downstate with the That's team right. to make us eligible, and it's been very successful so far.
Thank
Good
you.
Point. Thank you.
Recommended actions in the middle portion of page 18.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is amendment number 2, contract 1725, professional services agreement. This is for the West Creek Greenway. This is in the West Creek Reservation. This is a host of folks, including West Creek Conservancy, the City of Parma, Cleveland Metro Parks, CMAC, NOACA. This is congestion mitigation air quality. Funds have been granted to this. Cleveland Metro Parks is working with West Creek and the City of Parma to connect this section that will go all the way over to Seven Hills when completed. These are some preliminary costs. We're working with ELR to continue the professional services. This is the cost not to exceed $18,624, again, to be able to continue building out the plan for this greenway. It'll have beams, decks, and a bridge concept. We've got a little bit of a floodplain that we've kind of got to move and migrate around, but this connects the lower part of West Creek's reservation and then spins it off to west to go to the Hemlock Trail, and then ultimately it's connecting to the towpath. So this is a very, very big section, and we intend on getting this built here in the next few years. Recommended action falls on the top portion of page 20.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is South Chagrin Reservation, Solon to Chagrin Falls Trail, Phase 2 authorization, grant submittal to the Clean Ohio Trail Fund. Cleveland Metro Parks has been working with the City of Solon, Village of Bentleyville, which we've got a very nice letter from the new mayor to continue opportunities. This is part of the second century of stewardship plan of defining and completing connections across. This has been a long-standing process, project, and opportunity. This is the portion that sits in yellow here. Cleveland Metro Parks will be asking for up to $500,000 in construction to fund this portion of that phase 2, which is through the parts of the Cleveland Metro Parks. This will include a bridge and other opportunities to span over the top of the river. So this is a great opportunity. This includes the design and construction moving forward through. This is the Wheeling and Lake Erie connection, and the communities are extremely excited about this, these next levels of connections.
This is the only river crossing?
For the section, yeah, for us.
Yeah. Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
We will move into the change order number one, contract 1729 Garfield Pond Program Center. This was an opportunity for site, for some of the site work. We had originally, again, moving with the speed, we had included it in Neroni's. We had done some work and gotten a better price based on the holdup from some of the stonework and site construction work and utility drops. So we'll be pulling it from the Neroni contract, which they're aware of, and moving it over to the Shermer contract for a better price. So this is just a change order number one. This is for the program center and including the site work along the plaza that we ended up repairing and redoing a lot of the stonework, in particular, some of it in-house and some out-of-house. The recommended action falls on the mid-portion of page 22 for the amount of $599,589.58.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
The next is the tabulation of award and bids, pre-employment physicals, asphalt paths. We were very happy to be able to bring forward Seneca and Shawnee Hills improvements. Those will both have permanent asphalt in areas that hadn't had it before. Golf course greens and drainage at Seneca, continuing to improve the quality to greens mowers, new Silverado 2500 trucks, a few utility vehicles and mowers, and then Shopify sale for the contractor system so Anna Marie can continue to uplift our enterprise and retail divisions. Recommended actions falls in the top portion of page 23.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers and payroll.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, you'll find resolution 24-03-027 on page 38, totaling $13,233,782.33. All of the vouchers have been reviewed as to legality and conformity with the Ohio Revised Code. I would just ask your approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do you have any public comments? Please, right.
Morning. Budgeting calls for choices and priorities. Metro Parks core goals sound lovely, but rely on familiar marketing language. Lots of decisions here fall short of the mission. Much land has been added in the name of conservation. Seneca was acquired with the promise of removing holes, with that portion to be restored. Never happened. Instead, now you talk about how big it is. Forests are revered until you decide to cut mature trees for a playground. Contrary to Stinchcomb's objection to playgrounds here, Stinchcomb is often praised, as he should be, but the board waived his land restrictions for a developer. His no alcohol policy is replaced with liquor licenses everywhere, including First Tee. Here are two suggestions where you can innovate and sustain, yet still honor his tradition. The Cedar Point Bridge is being rebuilt by the county, but Metro Park has the sandstone sides stored. That bridge is on the historic registry and is older than Lookabout Lodge. You are surely capable of working with the county to sustain historic infrastructure by replacing the walls. The rest may be new, but the most visible part will be appreciated by future generations. The bridge was not only a beautiful entryway to Rocky River Reservation, it is also a tribute to the craftsmanship of bygone eras. The work so often featured in presentations of Metro Park's history. Luckily, you still have workers capable of restoring the sandstone walls, demonstrating the park's commitment to aesthetics and historic preservation. You can feature innovation. Strongsville has joined countless other cities and signed up for flock cameras. Total park acreage is not an issue, as cameras are placed at intersections. And with rentals costing $2,500 per camera, just one less Tahoe could pay for 31 cameras, easing criminal investigations. Compared to your total outlays on tech, that is a small price to pay. A handmade sign at the Rocky River Reservation murder site wished the victims Happy St. Patty's Day in heaven. If they couldn't celebrate here on earth, cameras might have helped to solve that crime and bring justice and closure for those families. Two choices you could be proud to accomplish and would benefit Metro Parks and visitors for years to come. Two choices you could be proud to take credit for. Thank you.
One quick question on the facing on the bridge. Is that that's probably not a current construction approach, is it?
She's asked us to participate in the county's project, essentially.
Yeah,
preserve.
Yeah.
Bridge, but Metro Parks has the original wall store.
But the facing on the concrete bridge, is that what we're talking about? Or maybe I'm.
It's the abutments on both.
Yeah,
sides.
Yeah.
We'll
okay.
Take a look at it. I mean, I think there's, you know, they had to redesign it. So I think our engineers will have to tie back in to see, you know, what.
Yeah.
What.
But that what may not be plausible. Any information briefings here?
Any other public comment just to make sure? We will move into the briefing item on the 2023 real estate report. Stephanie.
All right. Good morning, commissioners. Thanks for having me. So traditionally, I come before you to talk about the real estate report for the previous year. So this is our 2023 real estate holdings. And this year, I'm especially thankful that we're doing this in March, because as we went through the report, I realized we had 9 closings in December. So it felt a little bit like a sprint to the finish. So we appreciate these couple extra months to put together a summary of what was accomplished. So you have the report in front of you, which has a lot more detail than this presentation, so I won't dwell on all the little details, but initially I'll give you a map of all the properties we acquired and summarize our overall acreage, how much money we spent, how much was donated versus grants, that type of information, a little bit of the natural resources that we were able to preserve and connections we were able to make. And then I'll move into each of the properties. We do, because of the volume of the transactions, we do try to like bucket them. So looking at, you know, golf courses, city partnerships, conservation partnerships, donations, the work that we've done with land banks, that type of thing. I'll do a quick summary of all the numbers. So where we are in today for acreage by county, community, watershed. And then we always try to highlight a couple unique features for the year. So this year being that we surpassed 25,000 acres, we acquired 2 golf courses. Something new and a first for us was a barge. And then not to be forgotten, land stewardship. We do a lot of work maintaining the property that we do have in our boundaries and making sure that we're a good steward of the land that we do hold. So this is just a quick snapshot of what 2023 looked like. We were able to close on 20 transactions totaling 499 acres.
Could get one more acre.
Well, it was 49.44. So I had to like really reserve myself not to round up and go with that rounding technology, because let me tell you, I was tempted. So yeah, we are actually hundreds of an acre short of 500. but that did bring our total acreage up over 25,000 to 25,204 acres. Of that nearly 500 acres, 177 were donated, and the value of those donations were about 9.5 million. Our land acquisition costs totaled nearly 12 million, 2 of which was funded by grants. So if you take the total land value that was donated, along with the land that we purchased, we acquired nearly 21 or just over $21 million in real estate, with about $10 million coming from Cleveland Metro Parks. We were able to add new acquisitions in 11 communities and 11 reservations. And then you can kind of see a quick highlight of what we preserve versus for wetlands, forests, headwater streams, creeks, rivers, and then also continuing connections with trails. So as I mentioned, we acquired $21 million in real estate. So that was a pretty even split. 45% of the funding came from donation, 45% of the funding came from Cleveland Metro Parks, and then 10% from grants. 339 acres were acquired through grants and donations. And then, you know, a big part of our work is partnerships and grants. So we have partnerships with cities, conservancies. We were able to acquire 101 acres from West Creek Conservancy, expand upon Gordon Park, expand upon Viaduct Park and Bedford Reservation. We secured grants through the Clean Ohio Conservation Fund, NACA, which is the National Association of Wetland Conservation Act, I believe. The city of Solon acquired 2 golf courses. And then some key acquisitions, the Graincraft property on the Columbus Road Peninsula, a barge, and then again surpassing that 25,000 acres. And I know we kept saying, oh, we're nearly at 25,000. I can't believe how fast we got there. We acquired over 1,000 acres in just 3 short years. So I'm going to go through each acquisition. This is where I'll try to be a little quick because you have all the details in your packet. But the first is a very important property. Obviously, we've been growing our land holdings on the Columbus Road Peninsula. Rivergate Park was established in 2012, and then later came the Lakefront Reservation in 2013. Really increasing our presence along the Cuyahoga River and our lakefront, facilitating connections to all those properties through trail connections like the Red Line Greenway, the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Trail. So we just continue to look upon ways to expand here. You know, we acquired the Flats Industrial property, French Street. You know, our goal is really to extend a riverfront trail up to this Graincraft property that we acquired in 2023, which is 3.3 acres. And then you can see in yellow is the Marlin property that we hope to close on next month. So again, just trying to provide high quality public access to the river and on this peninsula. Golf courses, big part of our 2023 story. So we acquired 2 nearly 150-acre properties. So 300 of our 500 acres was represented in golf courses. So Hawthorne Valley Country Club is adjacent to South Chagrin Reservation. It was the former Hawthorne Valley Country Club, maintained until 2018. It's located just south of Aurora Road in Solon. A very important property, it includes Hawthorne Creek, which is a tributary to Tinkers. Tons of stream, forest, wetlands, just really a great opportunity to preserve 150 acres. We were able to do this with assistance from the Clean Ohio Conservation Fund. They provided us over $2 million. The city of Solon also provided us with $100,000 and has agreed to give us another $400,000, which is contingent upon a tax revenue from an adjacent development. And then this also does include naming rights, so it'll be called the Esther and Nathan Rzepka Park. Ironwood Golf Course is another 150-acre golf course. This one is a little bit different in nature, why Hawthorne is going to be actively restored, more green space, passive park. Ironwood will be maintained as a golf course. This is along the east branch of the Rocky River, adjacent to Rising Valley Park. And I was just looking at a map this morning. I remember when Rising Valley Park was just a flag-shaped parcel floating above Hinckley. And wow, this corridor has grown in the last 10 years. We are really doing a great job protecting the east branch of the Rocky River. It's located on State Road in Hinckley Township. It's an 18-hole course, has been in operation since 1967, and really creates that core natural resource reserve along the east branch. And can be offering recreational opportunities such as golf. Partnerships, we have lots of partnerships, cities, land banks, conservancies. So these two here are with the city of Cleveland and the city of Bedford. We had the opportunity to expand upon what we already have as known as Gordon Park. So this is Gordon Park South, just south of Interstate 90 and west of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. We amended our lakefront lease to include this additional acreage of 47.8 acres. Great one about this, it came with money. So the Warren Mandel Foundation helped provide funding to help revitalize this park. City of Bedford, we entered into a lease in 2000 with the city of Bedford to create Viaduct Park. This is a very unique property in the sense that it's where you get the great views of the Great Falls of Tinkers Creek. There's trails, overlooks. We've been talking with the city of Bedford on this property for quite some time. They finally got on board, agreed to donate it, and then in turn, we agreed to construct a reservable four-season shelter on the property. Another partnership is West Creek Conservancy. We work with them quite extensively. So in 2023, we acquired 101 acres from them. These acquisitions are a bit unique. Most of West Creek Reservation is held in lease with either the City of Parma or West Creek Conservancy. But these we actually acquired in fee. So 4 different properties. This is the Parmadale campus, Padua. So both of these properties really expand, you know, upon the western side of the reservation, provide a nice connection to each other. They've both been restored. You can see Parmadale was once a large campus back in the day. All of those structures have been removed. Padua had another structure on it, a house that was removed. There is a reservable shelter that will remain. But it was had sports fields that were removed and restored to its natural stream and floodplain channel. So just really a nice story. We've been working with West Creek on this for a number of years. We held a deed in escrow until the restoration was complete, and then they were transferred to us. And then the smaller properties up here connects up to West Ridgewood Drive, and a little piece down here that connects down to Park, Park Drive. So just, again, creating better connections to the park.
Trail runs in the bottom, too.
Yeah, so that.
Yes.
It eventually goes to Toba.
Yep, and this is a property we'll be talking about in just a minute, the Spring property, which will allow this trail connection up to Hillside. Okay, donations, huge part of our acquisitions in 2023 as well, and they come through so many different ways. I mean, just in this list of four, we have families, we have corporations, individuals, a school district, summer conservation easements we do, sometimes we do in fee. So a number of ways that properties can be donated. The Kyla 3 property is adjacent or near Brexel Reservation, right by the Sherwin-Williams R&D Center in Valor Acres. So an opportunity potentially do some sort of trail connection over to Brexel Reservation. The OW Holdings is in Rocky River Reservation, 2.5 acres on Emerald Parkway. It's adjacent to OD's headquarters, so provides a nice buffer to our reservation while also providing a nice buffer to their corporate headquarters. Wooded property in Rocky River. Bronson is a South Chagrin Reservation, 2.8 acres in the village of Moreland Hills, right along the Chagrin River, adjacent to South Chagrin, a wooded stream valley. And then lastly, the Board of Education for the Cleveland Municipal School District. Washington Reservation was established in 2003 through a lease with the school district. First Tee continued to grow. There's a desire for an expansion and additional opportunities, so we were able to acquire that area highlighted in green of the Horticulture Center. These are just some properties that help buffer our current land holdings. So we have two in Big Creek Reservation, both Scothon and Stoll. These two properties both border the Lake to Lake Trail. They're located on Falls Road in the Littleburg Heights, just really provide a nice buffer to that trail. Nicholson, I'll spend a little more time on because I think it really highlights some of the new ways that we try to acquire land. We had been interested in this property for a number of years, but the price tag was just way too high. They wanted $900,000 for a 14.7 acre property. So what we proposed was there are two houses on Aurora Road. We proposed that they split those properties, 1 acre each, and then we acquire the rear 12.6 acres, which holds, you know, category two wetlands, primary headwater streams. So that way we purchased the back, paid $435,000 for that property, and then they could market and sell the two houses up front to get to the price value that they wanted. We were also able to attain $100,000 from NACA to help with that funding. The Spring property, as Brian just noted, those trail connections on the southern side of West Creek Reservation. An interesting story. So Spring donated a conservation easement to West Creek in 2010. In 2020, that conservation easement was assigned to us, and then we desired a stronger real estate interest in that property. So you can see we only added 5 acres, but it's a 9-acre property. The house was like a donut hole, and it could have prevented some trail connections, so now we have a stronger interest in the entirety of the property. And then lastly, VOH Pearl is a small 0.6 acre property, but it's adjacent to the entrance to the zoo right across from Brighton Park, so really just creating a better entrance to our zoo. Two land bank properties, one with Middleburg Heights and one with the city of Richmond. You can see the properties circled in green on each here. This one provides a trailhead option for Bagley Road. As part of the donation, we agreed to construct a trailhead within the next 5 years. And then the city of Richmond, this was like a donut hole. We have been acquiring properties along this street here that sort of dead ends. There were two remaining properties held by Richmond Heights, so we were able to acquire those. And this is the newly constructed Eastern Ledge Trail, so really a great get. So I'll just quickly give you a snapshot of the numbers. Brexel Reservation continues to be our largest reservation. To note, Lakefront Reservation and West Creek both surpassed 500 acres this year, which is exciting. And Medina County, we surpassed 3,000 acres. We do hold land in 6 watersheds, Black River being the smallest, largest being Rocky River and Cuyahoga. And then again, just what I think the story for this year is surpassing that 25,000 acres. So this is just a quick snapshot of what those past 3 years have looked like. In 2021, we were around 250 acres. 2022 stepped it up to nearly 350. and 2023 acquired nearly 500. So that brought us over 1,000 acres in just three short years. This list here on the right is the properties that were 25 acres or above that helped make that possible. So you'll see a lot from West Creek Conservancy, two golf courses, and a number of properties on the East Branch of the Rocky River. Williams, Utah, Richfield Township, Ironwood Golf Course itself. So just a quick snapshot of some of the properties that help us get to that 25,000. So because we acquired two golf courses, it kind of just got me thinking, what's that looked like over the past couple of years? So since 2011, we have acquired five golf courses. So they're Seneca, Acacia, Astorhurst, Hawthorne, and Ironwood. They're all unique. You know, Acacia went under a very extensive restoration process, while Astorhurst has been more passively restored. Seneca and Ironwood will continue for golf. And then Hawthorne is just kind of reclaiming on its own and will undergo restoration as well. So all unique properties, but those five courses total over 1,000 acres. In just 2023 alone, our golf courses made up 60% of our total acreage, and it's made up 30% of our total acres since 2011. And interestingly enough, these five acquisitions are the largest individual acquisitions we've had since 2011, with the exception of the lakefront lease. So it's just kind of an interesting story that these are pretty important properties that we're protecting. The barge, that's a new one for us. So we couldn't not, it's not necessarily real estate, but something our team worked on along with P&D. So thought it was worth highlighting is an important get in 2023. Provides the opportunity for, you know, a year-round floating nature center to provide some STEM education. So didn't want to leave that out. And then lastly, just wanted to again give you know, a big note to our stewardship program. That's just a whole nother arm of our real estate team. There's a lot of work being done on managing encroachments and monitoring our conservation easements. And just a big thanks to Park Ops and Volunteer Services that helps with these activities. So, you know, if there's an encroachment that specifically points to an adjoining landowner, we work with that landowner to clean up their encroachment. But sometimes you just get these areas of dumping that, you know, you can't necessarily track to a particular owner. So our park managers work with Volunteer Services, removed a whole lot of trash, debris, tires. So just a really fun, exciting story of keeping stewardship of our parks, engaging the community, and big thanks to everyone for that. So that's all I have, but I'll take any questions.
That's all?
I can move through it quickly.
Would you send us a copy of that, of your report there? That's very, very interesting. I'd like to keep that on file.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's give everybody a deep round of applause. Was the last one. We have no old business. The next scheduled meeting we did amend, I believe it is now going to be April 25th, correct here? April 25th, as a correction.
Perfect date. I'm sorry.
A lot of reasons. We do have an executive session.
Is there a motion to go into executive session for two purposes? First, purchase and acquisition of real property. Second, personnel matters, specifically compensation evaluation.
Move to approve.
Second.
And this will be a roll call vote. Oh. So if there's that motion and there's a second and then.
Ready?
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
Yvette Itu.
Yes.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes. Yep. We're back.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Better. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.